time for us to talk a little Bruins hockey. And to do that, we welcome in our friend Ty Anderson of 98.5 The Sports Hub in Boston. Hello there, Ty.
Hey, Rich, what's going on?
Oh, just doing our thing, getting ready for the best time of year when all the sports are going at the same time.
Yeah, this really is sort of the absolute best. You know, I always say that I think that third week of April where you have both the NBA and the NHL playoffs going on, baseball starting up, and then October. I mean, those are the two times a year where I feel as if it's the absolute height of the sports calendar. And we're almost at the second one here, so I can't wait for it. I mean, this is what we all enjoy about living up here and, you know, everything going at once. So I love it.
Well, before we talk about the Bruins, I did want to mention I saw you post last night about Coolio, so you were obviously a fan.
Yeah, he actually played a festival that I go to every year in Chicago called Riot Fest. It tends to be a mix of, punk bands, some pop acts, some metal acts, and some rap acts. And this year, Coolio was one of the acts, and I was able to see him. So definitely surprising to hear his passing. He didn't look like he was, in poor health watching his set. Got the cold crowd behind him. Everyone wanted to hear Fantastic Voyage, Gangster's Paradise. And so really sad to hear about his passing. But, yeah, I was actually able to see him. I looked it up. It was his fourth final show. So there were three more after we saw him. So really shocking news based on, seeing him 10 days ago.
Well, like you, Coolio was a friend of our show, and it was a great moment about, I want to say maybe 6-7 years or so ago. We did, just for fun in the summertime when things are slow, we did a rap competition among local media people. And by and large, they were not very good, but we got Coolio to judge the championship of our local rap battle, and he was just absolutely great. He was in on the joke, and he was just a terrific guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you get that impression, and that's awesome that he was a judge. I mean, that would be a top 10 judge, in my opinion. Like, the era which he blew up, the era which he was part of, I mean, that's sort of, I think, the height of that genre, honestly. And what was really kind of crazy to me is that before he played one of his songs, he actually had about a minute and a half long shout-out to all these rappers that he was friends with who had passed away, including Fife Dog, Notorious B.I.G., all these guys. And then 2 weeks later, he's part of that group. So really, really sad. From all accounts, a great guy. And so, yeah, it's definitely a bummer.
Well, let's talk about the Bruins here. Roster cuts, preseason well underway. Any surprises yet in the cuts?
Maybe a little bit in terms of a guy like Georgi Mrkulov. Pretty talented player. Was popping, I thought, with his minutes. Maybe you want to get him another look there. But he's going to be in Providence. He's going to be on their top line, either as a center or a wing. So they still like his ceiling. But for the most part, I think a lot of these cuts were surprised. Were not surprising, rather. Providence camp does open next Monday, I believe. So you got to have some bodies down there for that. One player who I actually think that probably deserved a greater look, but it got taken from him, and a guy that you will know up in Maine is Edward Trelmax. I thought he had a great start to camp, and then he gets hurt in a collision last Saturday during a scrimmage. So he's going to be out 4 weeks. But the sense I got was that they liked where his game was going. They liked some progress that they thought he had made, and he finishes his preseason with zero games played because of that collision. So a bummer for a guy like him. But ultimately, these cuts are the start of. These were the easy decisions, I would say, for them. It's only going to get harder from here.
A fair amount of defensemen still left. Will those be tougher decisions?
I think so, to a certain degree. I want to say they have their group set. They're seven. I do think Anton Strahlman, who was invited to camp as a tryout, I do think they're going to sign him if he wants to play. Talking with Strahlman, he's kind of been a little, it is what it is about his career. He seems like a guy who would be content to play or content to retire. But I think you watch him, and he has a fit there with Hampus Lindholm. That looks like a decent pairing, especially without Charlie McAvoy, especially without Matt Grzelcyk. So I think they have their group. It's just a matter of maybe getting some guys that you want to get a look at for potential call-ups, say, you know, in December, January when injuries strike, you can call back to saying, well, we had him and he looked good with Brandon Carlo or Jake Sporl or whoever. So I think they just want a deeper look at some of these guys, but I think they do have their group set personally.
Interesting topic that you guys have covered on the Sports Hub Underground podcast, and that's Jim Montgomery, and particularly his impact on some of the young guys.
Yeah, you know, I think it's been interesting talking to some of the players, talking to Montgomery, really getting a sense of how the message is being delivered. You know, Jim Montgomery is not afraid to have a hard conversation with him. I think the difference is in delivery. The difference is in, you know, opportunity following the delivery. After last Saturday's game in Philadelphia, Jim Montgomery pulled Jack Pinica inside and said, you didn't play well, and we need more, and you need to realize the opportunity in front of you here. And then on Tuesday, Jack Pinica has a great game, fantastic game, was one of their best players, I thought, really. So I think the messaging is getting through to guys. Brandon Carlo is a guy, I think, who's really learning more from the film sessions and the chats versus the play better, you're not playing well enough. So I just think that the more hands-on approach, the more gentler touch, it's working for them. You know, they needed the kick in the pants from Bruce Cassidy, I think, from where they were going back in 2017. But after 5 years, 6 years, you got to change it a bit, and I think we're already seeing some results here with Jim Montgomery's style versus Cassidy's.
What's it like having David Krejci back around?
Oh, it's like he never left. It's really kind of strange. Like, you're in the facility, like, oh, there's David Krejci. You almost forget that he was gone for a whole year and change, right? So I think that line, that Taylor Hall, David Krejci, David Pastrnak line, that might be your first line. And I say that because it's just so high-powered offensively, you know? And I look back at what Hall and Krejci did together. I look back at what Krejci and Pastrnak did at the World a few months ago over in Finland. I just think that is a line that can really dominate and take over games offensively. So, you know, when you factor in the defensive burden of Bergeron and Marchand when they're healthy and in action, I really think that Krejci line may end up being your go-to offensive line.
You had a wonderful piece the other day about a new acquisition, A.J. Greer, and off to a great start, obviously. You think he's somebody that could be a real fan favorite this season?
I do. I mean, he plays with energy. He plays with pop. You know, you watch him, and he's the first one in. Any post-whistle nonsense, he wants to be in the middle of it. He told a funny story about how, you know, he got called for a penalty Tuesday against the Rangers, and he's in the box, and fans are saying, hey, nice hit, keep it going. And then he gets out of the box, and he's throwing hits again. You're like, he seems like a guy that players and fans can gravitate towards. And I think the Bruins need another guy who has that energy, who has that ability to drag you into the fight. You know, I've said it for a few seasons now. You know, Brad Marchand and Charlie McAvoy can't be your only guys doing that because they're so important. And you can't have those guys throwing their bodies constantly because you need them on the ice. You can't have them on the shelf or in the box. They need to be on the ice. So a guy like Greer who can come in and kind of change the tempo of a game, I really like his game. And if the season begins tomorrow, he's on the roster. He is a lock, in my opinion, just playing fantastic hockey, I think.
And do you think we're still looking at a likely close to a 50-50 split of the goaltending?
I think so. I, you know, barring one of these guys elevating their game to a 930 save percentage kind of level, I think that works, right? And I think that this is sort of the pattern of the league in a lot of ways. You don't have a lot of guys who play 60 games anymore. It just doesn't really happen. Even 55, you're seeing a lot of teams sort of come off that and say, no, we think 45 or 50 is kind of like the max. You know, if you have aspirations of going four rounds in the playoffs, well, that adds about 24 games, 25 games to a goaltender's workload. So you have to manage it properly and kind of get these guys maxed out. They haven't mapped it out yet in terms of the exact number of starts, but I'd be shocked if it's not a near 50-50 split down the middle once again, because it works, right? Neither guy is unhappy with their workload. Neither guy is saying, I want to be playing more. You're not giving me the right kind of games, right kind of opponents. It seems like they got a good chemistry kind of situation there, so why mess with it?
Ty Anderson, 98.5 The Sports Up. Ty, always great talking hockey with you. Good to have you back on, and we look forward to a much more frequent visits as we get closer to the start of the season.
Absolutely. I think next time we're going to talk, it's probably going to be opening week or dang close to it. So I'm looking forward to that.
Fantastic. Thanks, Ty. Be well.
You too. Thank you.
Ty Anderson, talking Bruins with us here on Downtown.